Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Conspiracy Castle. I am your conspiracy asshole, Primetime 99, Alex Stein, on the grind all the time, baby. And we are about to blow your mind because we have a very special guest. That's right, the one, the only, Gino Bisconte. I'm talking about, he is the man, the myth, the legend. I mean, he's from Compound Media. You can see him from freaking Monday through Thursday. And with all that, Gino, welcome to the Conspiracy Castle. Thank you for being our guest on this lovely, what is it, a Monday afternoon, Gino? I don't even know the days anymore. I'm so excited.
Monday last night, Chef. It is a fucking pleasure to be here. Is it AS? Is it Alex? Is it Steinmetz?
It's the Steinman 99, man, is what it is. And that's, now if I can't even find where I put on the music, Gino, so I can't turn the music off. Here we are. I'm saying it so loud. I'm Primetime 99 Alex Stein. Everybody thinks I'm a Jew. I'm not. But everybody thinks I'm a Jew, which you think
would... You get all the bennies of being a Jew without actually having to be a Jew, so it's kind of a win-win, I would imagine.
I don't know. I live in Texas, and they're not... I don't really love the Jews down here. I don't know that much. I don't know if they're... I mean, I guess now the world is getting... We're already starting with the... I love the controversial topics, you know. I love when we start talking about Judaism. You know, we're going to come right out of the gate.
So
with
wait,
the sledgehammer.
Texas, Alex?
Dallas, Texas. Yes, sir, Gino.
Oh, that's right. I saw it on one of the... Like, I crammed today. Big fan already. Like, I've been so busy. This all happened so quickly. And thanks for having me. It's like I was running around today to do our show, and then I'm walking home having a cigar. And now I'm going to have another one because who doesn't love a little lung cancer? And I crammed in like 20 minutes of three different shows. But, dude, this is a fun little gig. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, dude, like I said, the pleasure's all here. And Gino, okay, so first things first, I got to talk about what you just did. I don't want to start off with a bad vibration, but dude, I'm a Kevin Brennan fan. And you shut down MLC, basically, Gino. I mean, it's not your fault. I'm not blaming you, but dude, that was epic. And come on, Kevin Brennan, why is he such a softie, Gino?
If you, and I love Kevin Brennan.
I love him.
He's like, I text him all the time, but I draw people into my life like this. And I mean it, like, I'm genuinely like this all the time. I'm always upbeat. I'm always in a good mood. I really am. But I draw in people that are happy being miserable. And Kevin needs to be miserable to be happy. And I live here with my cat, you know, in a three bedroom.
I got a bunch of cats too.
My phone fucking doing. Jesus Christ. I don't know what it keeps playing. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead, please. You're allowed to yell.
I say how I'm always in a good mood. But Brennan, when he did that show, like he worked, and I get it. He's got a wife. He's got two kids. He worries about money too much. So when he's on that episode saying Stephen A. Smith brings it, all he's saying is he's the highest paid fucking guy at ESPN and underscoring my fact that the industry, that all of sports has gone too political. And of course he is, because he's a black guy that talks all up in his face. And I don't care if you're black or human, gay or normal. I don't care about it.
But tell me this, though. ESPN sucks so much dick now. I mean, it is just a social justice network. Anybody that will defend Stephen A. Smith, that just shows you how little. And Kevin, I don't know if you'll ever see this, but the fact that he would defend Stephen A. Smith, and there's a story from Jason Whitlock that this is, I could pull it up, but I don't even want to look it up. This is a true
love
story.
Jason, you know, Whitlock.
I love it. But this is a true story about it. And this is what Jason Whitlock said. This is how dumb Stephen Stephen A. Smith is that it was like a game against the Chargers, and you know, it was a Chargers Rams or something, some random game. And this is towards the beginning of Stephen A. Smith's career, and he said, "Oh, the coach should have kicked the field goal on third down, because if they would have missed it, they would have got to kick it again on fourth." He didn't even realize it would have been a loss of downs. And Jason Whitlock and everybody started laughing. They're like, "Are you serious?" And then he kind of clowned it off. So that shows you the level of brightness that Stephen A. Smith has, you know. That's a true story from
Disney. And it also shows you how, you said it, like, it's owned by Disney. I used to write a sports sheet. My fans know this. They're laughing as I speak. I wrote for iHeartRadio for 6.5 years, and I just got fired, basically. But I got myself fired. Like, because, you know, the first 5.5 years, I loved it because it's sports. But over the past year, politics has crept into everything sports. And when LeBron James says, you know, when LeBron James is telling it, backpedals on China and then gets his comeuppance because China hasn't even okayed the piece of SHIT garbage, the piece of CRAP drivel that is Space Jam 2, and you know where you can jam it.
Isn't China, that the best? Isn't that the best that China won't even play his fucking cartoon porn? Oh, it makes me feel so good.
They see,
Gino,
said
but Gino, why is the world so screwed up that I'm dunking on the Olympics, us sucking at the Olympics? What is wrong with America? It shouldn't be like this. It should be the opposite. We should be rooting for LeBron, but everybody's turned against us.
But tell me you didn't love when the U.S. women's soccer team, and I think they're great, when they went out and fucking lost to Sweden after they sat there and that purple-haired bitch, who I love, but
took
she just
a knee. She takes her knee. She always takes a knee. What's her dumb name? Megan Rapinoe. Oh. She's always on a knee.
Screaming at Megan Rapinoe. And look, I even think she's hopping now. She's just annoying. And when LeBron James fucking violates COVID protocol and says, "Oh, don't worry if I'm vaccinated," you can't have the double standard. And when you write about it, and when the WNBA women kneel during a game, like, they're fucking relevant. The only thing they should do before a game is kneel in front of an NBA player and suck his dick, because that's the only reason the WNBA is relevant. I don't know if you know what the WNBA stands for. It stands for what irrelevant, because they are. They are irrelevant. No one cares. And they wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the NBA putting them on their fucking backs. On their silver backs. That's too much.
That's a Gino Bisconte original. No, but the WNBA is carried by the NBA. That's a social justice league. But even worse, now they want to make all the women the coaches in the male league, Gino. And then, but real quick, before we even get on the WNBA, I want to ask you, what do you think about Laurel Hardy, whatever, the girl that still has her penis, that is a transgender Olympian for New Zealand? And are you going to gamble that the trans is not the favorite? The trans is actually favored to win silver.
It's so funny you brought it up, because someone asked me about the Olympics, and I'm like, I can't even get into it. Don't get me wrong, I watched Simone Biles because I think she's the greatest gymnast of anyone. She is the Michael Jordan. She's the greatest gymnast of anyone's lifetime. I watch her, but I said the only other thing I'm interested in is watching this broad with a cock weightlifting, because I want to see the fucking kickback on that. This is what I said when we were talking about Biden. You know, my president, Joe Biden, I don't care if you think
the best president, the most popular president of all time. We love you, Joe Biden. And Kamala Harris. Thank you, Kamala Harris. If I could ever just 69 her, that would be my dream. But Gina, I would love to 69. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
But now we get to sit and watch the left fall all over itself. The left eat its own fucking inflation out the ass, fucking the board. And they just sit there and they lie. They're so living in an echo chamber that on July 4th, Jen Psaki, and I'll get to her in a minute. Jen Psaki said, the price of a barbecue is down 14 cents or 16 cents, I believe it was. And they're so used to fucking patting each other on the back that they made that a news story while the rest of sane America said, are you serious? Because I have to have it in a tent because it costs 3 times as much to build a fucking house, you dumb TWAT cunt. I can't get over how dumb these people think we are. I was at July 4th, I went to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, okay? First time ever. I've lived here 20 years. I one of the competitive eaters does our show in hot water. His name is George Chigger. I said, Chigger, please pay attention. He's such a good dude. And he's like, hey, I got your VIP. So we're right on the stage. But it doesn't matter where we are. I'm just trying to give a shout out to my boy. Before the fucking, it's at a fucking minor league stadium, Alex. It's at a minor league stadium where the Cyclones play, 2 blocks down from Nathan's, 10,000 people.
I'm very familiar.
De Blasio comes out before the men to announce the men. What? How dumb, right? You can imagine 10,000 people booing, the cops that he tried to defund enjoying every fucking boo. What is the logic to go out there? It's like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons when he used to say, every Johnny Lunch Pail and Susie Homemaker. Did he really think that we were going to be like, hey, Alex, we like hot dogs and he likes hot dogs. I guess this guy that has people shitting on the sidewalk and doing crack and sleeping and taking the power of the cops to arrest him, I guess he's just a good guy and we were wrong because he likes hot dogs.
Well, listen, that hot dogs mean something else. But listen, there's a thing. This is very true. It's called the New World Order, Gino. Whether you want to believe it or not, I don't know how familiar you are. Because I know Anthony, a compound king, the king of a compound. You know he doesn't necessarily...
Yeah, my boss.
Yeah, your boss. And he's the man. He's a legend. I'm a personal hero of mine. It's funny. I always listen to all that old ONA. And Anthony was really railing about this stuff 15, 20 years ago that's all happening now.
Yeah.
But not about that. I want to go back to the conspiracy. What I'm saying is, you look at a guy like Bill de Blasio, just look how he treats his daughter, Gino. That is some sort of kind of like a humiliation ritual. It's like a sacrificial thing. It's like with Magic Johnson, you see his son, do you know who Magic Johnson's son is, Gino?
The big gay one. Like I know
they want their kids. It's like Dwayne Wade's daughter Zaya. It's called a lot of these famous people, they want to kind of sacrifice their child. And I'm telling you, you can pick out so many different famous people. And the weird transitional. I mean, tell me Bill de Blasio's daughter is not one of the weirdest looking people you've ever seen in your life.
She's a terrifying person. I don't know what she is, but it's insane how, you know what I forgot to do? Watch this. I'm going to make some light better. Watch, forgive me.
There we go.
Isn't that, look how much better that is.
Are we in Manhattan? Where are you, Gina? Are you in Brooklyn?
I live on East Harlem and I lucked into this place. I'm over on 104th and 1st. And, you know, all the people that don't know New York are like, how are you during the riots? I'm like, I was great during the riots because I live in a neighborhood where everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go burn down Luigi's bodega. Let's Luis's fucking fruit stand. Are you nuts?
Now, Gina, I'm going to go participate. I'm not afraid of the riots. Hell, I might go into Macy's and get a free a pair of shoes. I need some new Nikes, Gino. I'm not going to
feed your family. You got to feed your family shoes.
Dude, and I need a generator at the Home Depot. I mean, there's just stuff that I need, Gino. So I like being in kind of a sketchy neighborhood. But so tell me this, you know, you're in New York, you're seeing the transition of it, but you're actually, I'd have to say, Gino, personally, just following you, you're really at a successful trajectory right now. You're having really, I think your show is really successful on Compound Media. I know Comedians of the Compound is doing really well. So even though kind of New York is burning, do you feel like you're kind of actually succeeding in a weird way, Gino?
I am succeeding, and I've said this on the show, and it really is. If ever the phrase is coming, it's more of a watch in the left field. Get woke, go broke. And I've said our show in hot water for years, okay? But like when I moved up to New York 20 years ago, I wanted to be the next Letterman. So many people did. But then this is when the breakdown started. First off, bash late night, then I'll tell you my trajectory. But it started when Letterman finally left, the last great seat in late night TV. They gave it to a person that never existed. Hear me out. They gave it to Stephen Colbert, right? Mm-hmm. But Stephen Colbert was the guy from the Colbert Report, so they wanted to play on his fame, but he played a character, and then they said, yeah, but he'll be himself. So if he's himself, you gave the hottest chair, the most legendary chair in all of late night talk, to a man that's never done it in his life, and that's when you knew they were just going to start pandering to whatever was harmless and worked, and it's all about the ratings, and they all fucking gone vanilla. Like, when I, like, look, we are all energy. And when you think of something, and I know you're spiritual like this, I watched some of your pods. When you think of an idea, that's a genuine bit of creation. The firing between the synapses, that came through you. I'm not kidding. But when you are Jimmy Kimmel's, Stephen Colbert, or the worst is Seth Meyers, they sit there wondering, even say what I'm saying? When you think
Howard Stern's the worst, you know, I used to love Howard Stern. Howard Stern sucks so much dick now. Like, literally, he was my hero, Gina. He was my hero. Yeah. I would have licked his balls. I'm not a homosexual. I loved the guy. He was my fucking hero. Now the guy, I hate Howard Stern. I mean, it's weird, you know.
When, like, I'm right there with you. I finally canceled my Sears because I used to say, and I'm sure you'll agree, he should be able to go on the air and clip his nails for 4 hours and we should all say thank you. That's how much he did for radio. But when he starts doing the Whack Pack shit, which I loved, and then every 5 minutes fucking tweeting from the Hamptons and telling us to fucking listen to Hillary Clinton and sucking Fuck, and you can't lick his balls because he's too busy licking Hillary's balls and Cuomo's balls. Go
but
on.
But Gino, you know when it jumped the shark? The show jumped the shark when Eric the actor died. See, I love the show when Eric the actor died. And then right after that, it already went off the rails. That was the end. That was the peak of the Howard Stern show. Those years were so good when Artie was on heroin. I hate to say it like that.
I know.
And then Eric the actor, because that shows the kind of person Howard is. You know, he exploited Artie's heroin thing. I mean, he rode that like a cheap horse. Because he knew that it worked for the Howard TV, you know, made him so much money. But that was the peak. And now you're right. Now he's interviewing Hillary Clinton. Now he's like defending Tony Podesta. And I actually called into his show and asked him about Pizzagate. And I don't know if you're that familiar with Pizzagate. He defended. He's like, oh, that's all fake. It's all.
Well, of course he's going to say it's all fake. But look, I don't trust either side of the media anymore. Like, you know, I love Tucker. I watch him. But after all, it's like I'm into the Newsmax now. But after all, it's like I can't even. It's all common sense. I'll get to that in a sec. But let me finish what I'm saying about late night. So now they all sit there saying what they think they're supposed to say, and it's boring. It's vanilla. They're shills for the left. And this is why I love my job. I always have. I get to say what I want. I'd love if we got kicked back. I would defend it, but we don't need to because we're behind a paywall. Compound Media. It's $9 a month. With a discount now. It's $7 a month. And I'll tell you this. I'm going to cancel Netflix next because when I go on Netflix, you know, I think we all do. You spend 20 minutes flipping, unless there's a show that you're like, I want to watch. You flip around on Netflix and never know what you're going to watch.
Same with Amazon Prime. It's a waste of time. We spend more time just clicking that fucking remote.
But when you subscribe to Compound Media, here's where you get 4 days a week. You get the morning show, which is great. You get the next hour is always a mixed up. It's either Don Jameson or Tlaib Starks or fucking Pat Dixon. Every day, and I think it's the best 4 hours in programming, every day you see In Hot Water, 2 to 3:45, Boss from 4 to 6, Gavin McGinnis drops by every Wednesday, Nick DiPaolo drops by on Mondays, we rotate in and fuck with the boss, and you know exactly what you're getting, exactly what you want to watch, a month's worth of programming, 20 shows a week for fucking $9 at most a month. It's incredible.
And it's actually uncensored, folks. So the people that, I mean, they like on there, they show all kinds of really fucked up stuff in a good way. I mean that with all due respect. I'm just saying it's not a place.
Let me tell you, I never realized how, if you take out the sound, gay porn is really funny. It's really funny. Or as Artie said, he called the UFC. Artie Langwin said, he's like, I don't like the UFC. To me, it looks like two gay guys are having sex. And 2 minutes in, the guy on the bottom realizes he's not gay anymore. I always thought that was a really good one. But so I love that I can sit by my desk and whatever I want to say, whatever comes into my head immediately goes out of my mouth. And that's genuine creation. And here's my point about how my trajectory, and thank you for the compliment. I moved to New York, like I said, 20 years ago and 2001. I'm like, I'm going to, you know, you think inside the box and you say, all right, I'm going to get to New York. I'm going to get a good 10 minutes, a good 15, whatever. I'm going to get seen by an agent. I'm going to go to a festival. I'm going to get a late show appearance. I'm going to get a sitcom. That's the plan, right? But I was never good at playing the game. My act is, I started in Philly in bars, so I always fucking do crowd work. And I was never good at just doing a nice, clean, tight set. And I always say there was no time where I'd love to say there was a day when I walked back to my apartment and said, that's it. I'm going to do it my way and make them come to me. I didn't. But I know I said at some point, that's it. I'm just going to do what I want to do and see what happens. And then fucking the world, the comedy world, all entertainment, it just fragments. It shatters. And suddenly there's 800 platforms from YouTube to TikTok. There's all ways to get monetized. You know what I mean? From PayPal to Venmo to crypto. There's all these. And suddenly we're doing a podcast. We get hired by the boss. And suddenly we're doing everything we've always wanted to do, saying exactly what I want to say. And I can't stress this enough. Like, I say shit that gets me in trouble, but I don't care. Because here's the thing. If you're on a long journey, let's say you want to be a comedian the rest of your life. For me, that's another fucking 30, 40 years. Then whatever your course is, and this gets more, if you veer one degree off, I'm just not going to say this. Or I'm just going to take out this word. Or I'm just going to lose this bit. Then suddenly you're going to wind up all the way the fuck over here. 20 years down the line, when you, let's say that you stay dead fucking straight, you know where you wind up? On the fucking conspiracy castle with Alex Stein smoking a cigar that your crazy girlfriend sent you because you were mad at her, and now you're gonna get a makeup set. So it's
no,
all
that's, but speaking of, I don't even know if Hannah's here right now, so I'm dating this girl, and she's living in Tampa. Now she's here. She's visiting here. And you know how it goes when you have a girl and it's just, you know, 1 minute things are great, the next minute you're fighting. Why is love so difficult, Gina? Why is that? Because I'm saying, my dad got divorced from my mom, then got remarried and got divorced from somebody else. Same with my mom. She divorced my dad, then married somebody else, got divorced. I don't know what your parents are like. I'm scared to death to get married, Gina. I'm going to be I hope I'm not a bachelor. I think I might be a bachelor my whole life, like the Anthony Cumia style.
I mean, this is what you're looking at, 52 living alone with a cat, but
I got four, but these women are so hard. These women aren't easy, Gina. These women are
tough. To
they bust my balls. They break my heart. Oh, these hoes are not loyal. They're
but you
hard.
I look back at how I wound up here because I was in a couple long relationships. But like when the last one broke up, it's like I guess the way I sugarcoat it for me, but I do believe it's like I was never willing to sacrifice all my comedy, even though I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And now I wound up here, and all the women that I broke up, I was their bottom. I was fucking this failing drunk comic. You know, he'd spend money on coke instead of. And it's like, I get it. Now they're all married and happy. Good for them. But I'm pretty pleased with how it turned out. But the reason they drive us nuts, like my partner Aaron Berg on In Hot Water, who's married to another great. Christine me, and she didn't take his last name, and they fight all the time. And of course you fight because you're like, you know, we're in entertainment. When someone pisses off on Twitter, eventually we learn to ignore him. You don't give a fuck about him. But when you know you're linked in with someone, you can't let that go, and you gotta fucking battle it out. You gotta get at least a little inch. You gotta get some ground.
And Gino, it's all for about 5 minutes of humping. I'll do anything. I'm bending over backwards, all just so I can do something for about 5 minutes. But okay, but I want to go back to this, to what you're saying. Talking about this day and age, you know, I guess back in the day in comedy, you'd be like the Dane Cook, MySpace. You'd have to follow like Twitter. But now with this long form podcasting, you know, being able to create your own talk show, I think that is the future of creating an audience. And from that, you know, like, you know, the Comedians at the Compound, you build off that show. So I think the future of content creation, I think comedians have to be creating their own show. Do you agree with that or not, you know?
I couldn't agree more. I'm going to give a shout out to a friend of mine, a buddy of mine that I used to drink with down in Delaware, quit bragging. Like we're buddies forever. He had a daughter like 5-6 years ago. He's like, my daughter Olivia is getting into acting. Can you hook her up? And I'm like, I have one agent in Philly, sends me out on commercials. I'm not a good actor, but I hook them up. He's a good actor. They work it out. She gets all this fucking commercial work for him. She made an independent movie. She wrote it herself. Out of the blue, I get a text or an email a month ago. It's like, hey, Gino, I want to thank you again for, you know, hooking me up with Peter Coach. She's like, I woke up one day, I wrote this movie to see if you think it's any good. 11-page script. We went and filmed it this weekend in Delaware at a record store. Me, her, another actor who's from New York, and we're going to be drinking soon. And these three guys in the crew, they were fucking great. And that's genuine creativity. And that's the beauty of what I said earlier. And let me tell you, this is all I ever say. My crazy girlfriend did some fucking, she did some web series called, tell her something. I can't remember. But she was great. And it just, when she said, what'd you think? I said, you looked like you had so much fun. And she got mad at me. She's not anymore. She's like, so you can't say it's good. I'm like, I just saw a sizzle reel. You looked like you had fun. And that's all you can do in any creative process now. Know that you're genuinely creating and enjoy it. And it shows in the work. Otherwise, you know what it is? You know what it is, Alex? It's a fucking job. I don't need to have a fucking job. I don't need to fucking go and quote chapter and verse and say, say this and let me tweet this. I've said it before and I cannot stress it enough. Neil, I used to say the Buddha, but it wasn't. There's an old book called Conversations with God by Neil Patrick Walsh. And the one line that always stood out to me is, if we don't go within, we go without. And it's this simple. If you don't create from within, if you don't say, this is what I want to say, this is what I want to write, this is what I want to make, and put it out there exactly as it is, you know what you're doing? You're not creating from within. You're going without and saying, well, the media likes this, but I can't say this. And people like transgender stuff. So let me just morph it and then I'll stuff it in my fucking mouth and see what comes out. And that's going without. And that's work. And we don't do that. To quote the Princess Bride, we are men of action. False words do not become us.
I love it. And see, now, you know, there's nothing in between the means to our production. We can actually create on our own in a weekend, write a script. And now with technology, like I said, I can create this show. You're in freaking New York. I'm in Dallas, and we're doing a live talk show.
Doesn't matter. And Dallas, saying, Texas is huge
well,
now.
No. I'm just saying it's awesome. I'm just saying the future is so bright for content creators. And I see, you know, Fox News. Dude, I used to like Trump a little bit, but, dude, he became a vaccine salesman. Like I said, Tucker's a very talented broadcaster, probably the most talented talk show host there is right now.
Tucker got higher ratings than fucking doddering it at its town hall. So did fucking Hannity that night.
Yeah, no, I'm not hating on him, but I'm just saying Fox News sucks, the right sucks, the left sucks, and I don't even want to be a libertarian necessarily because, Gino, I think some shit should be socialized. I mean, should insulin cost $200 in New York and $2 in Mexico? No, maybe the government can control some shit in our favor.
But maybe because that the stuff in Mexico is made by Mexicans.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's fucked up.
Nothing. Six. Cat. My cat is so. I love my cat. She's like so used to me. I could be screaming like this and she's out. She's out like a light. She's like, yeah, just dad screaming. Dad just doing his stuff. But yeah, and this is why, this is when I realized I hated Fauci. I didn't like Jen Psaki. Let me rephrase. It's basically what we say about late night TV. She has to go up there every day and just try and convince you of the bullshit. And I'm not saying, you know, McEnany didn't do it. I loved her because she was eating.
I love her. Hey, dude, speak real quick. I got to cut you off. Hey, Gino, I would fuck Sarah Huckabee Sanders just because the way she would talk. She was so, I mean, is she the way she commanded that room? If she could command me like that, I'd hump her really freaking hard. I would just do it.
You are a man after my own heart, Alex.
Okay. So go ahead. McEnany.
Here's what made me like Psaki. Did you see a couple days ago she threw out the first pitch at a Nationals game?
I like redheads. Yeah, I saw her. I thought she looked okay. She looked cool.
It was a good pitch. Literally, and I'm going to say for a girl. Now, don't get me wrong. The catcher didn't even have to. The catcher took one step outside the box and caught it. It was outside.
Dude, Jen Psaki's like a spy. You know, you realize that she's like a trained spy.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm just telling you, whatever she is. I mean, you don't get to be, especially for the side that she's in. I mean, when you are the mouthpiece for the president of the United States, she can probably do karate, taekwondo. I know she speaks multiple languages, and you realize how. And Gino, think about it, like how hard it'd be for you and me to sit up there and this always bitch and moan at us. You would lose it and say the N-word in the first day. I mean, you know, we'd say, you get out of here. I would lose it. We would lose it. She sits there calm like a bomb, like a serial killer, and is able to handle that. And that's not easy.
And I respect that. But here's what I'm saying. Like that first pitch, look, let's face it. You're a figurehead. You're a mouthpiece. That is a job that you have to do to like you win people over. You're in the public eye. And I thought that was great for her. When Fauci went out and threw the first pitch, this shit. And it was, tell me
about his
first pitch.
Gino, that's what part of it's a humiliation ritual. See, Fauci at the end of this is going to end up being a big fall guy. They'll all, you know, I'm saying, watch. You'll see when stuff does come out, somebody's going to have to, you know, put the blame, and it's not going to be anybody but Fauci. They're going to say, oh, he funded this lab or he did this. And it's not going to happen now. It'll be like 9/11. It's going to happen in 2030, 10 years
later. I can't. Hurt me anymore because no one gets arrested. No one gets arrested. Trump's never going to get arrested. I don't think he should.
I don't think he should either. But I mean,
right. But the guys that fucking made up they lied on the fucking Russia hoax. They're not going to get arrested. And fucking Biden's son, who doesn't speak Ukrainian and fucking knows nothing about electric, got $80,000 a month, and he's not going to get arrested.
Gina, real quick, you and I both
lied about it. They're not going to get arrested. But no one gets arrested.
Let's be real.
No one.
Let me cut you off and let's be real. You and I have definitely partaked. I went to LSU. I've snorted a little cocaine. I've drank. You know, I like to party. So when you look at a guy, and I mean, you know, you like to dabble yourself. You look at a guy like Hunter Biden. We should love Hunter Biden, Gino. I should be like, yeah, Hunter Biden's cool. He's the dude. But I hate his guts because they suck so bad. Like, what? What the fuck? Upside down world.
I never thought of that. You're right.
We should be rooting his art. He should be cool. He should be like Dunson. I don't know that movie. I don't know the first kid. But like, if you think about it, he is this cool guy, but he just sucks because he's this bag man for his dad. And like, It's really sad because I bet if you sat down with Hunter Biden at a bar, Gina, you and him would have a weekend to remember. I guarantee.
Look, we need to sit down at a bar because I love that you said that. You know who I say that about all the time, and he annoys me to no end? Colin Kaepernick. He drives me insane. But you know what it is? It's the people that keep fucking propping him up. If I sat in a bar with Colin Kaepernick and he's like, dude, I can't play football, but I'm fucking famous and I'm fucking everything that moves, I'd be like, I'm getting you a beer. And I'm going to go find some coke. You wait right here. I think I saw Hunter Biden on his laptop. But I agree. There's so many people that I want to. And that's, watch this segue like we know what we're doing, fucking Alex. And that's how the fucking lockdown polarized us. Because I can tell you there are so many people that I was fighting with. And it's my fault. I'm an eighth grade girl on Facebook. That if I was sitting with them, having a fucking beer, we would not be fighting. We'd be saying, you're an idiot. You're dope. We'd be having drinks. And it would be fine. You know what I mean? But that's what goes on.
Is it because you can hide? Is it because you can do it anonymously? Do you know why? Why do we get more vicious online, in your opinion?
Because it's just the words, and we can't fucking see the guy's face, and we just envision the worst. Like my buddy Ralph Sutton, like I do a podcast with him called the SDR Podcast. Sometimes I sit in, and he's great, and he's all pro-vax, and he busts my balls, and I bust his. You know what he got today?
Bell's palsy.
He got COVID.
Of course he did. Everybody's getting it. They're not even recording it.
I had every one of my listeners, I said, go to IamRalphSutton.com and wish him well. Be like, hey, buddy, heard you got the COVID. Hope you're okay.
That 13 out of 21 NFL players that got vaccinated on the first day of camp that randomly got tested, 13 out of the 20, all vaccinated, tested positive for COVID. So people don't realize when you get it, you're going to test positive for it. But people are
dude, they have a meme going around on the show, and it says Gina was right about everything. And let me tell you, because I said from the get-go, and it wasn't, this is what I realized, even this, I can articulate it now, but I didn't realize it while I was realizing it. I know that makes no sense, that it becomes common sense and follow the science. Like, it's impossible to follow. Like we've all gotten all worked up on something and said, I'm going to go find these numbers on the CDC webpage or the World Health, and you can't find it. So the dumb, obedient people that would rather be controlled than be free, to quote Michael Malice, or our good friend Tino Sanchez quoted when he was on a couple episodes ago, big fan of both you guys. Like, people would rather be controlled than be free. They think they want to, like, here's another thing that you don't realize about the world. My mother, she's the one on the far left in the black dress. Growing up when I was a kid, hold on, there you go. That's her. When I was a kid, my mother was a teacher, and she would always say to my brother, she's like, you know what they do, schools do with money? They don't give it to the smart kids, they give it to the dumb kids. So this is what the world is right now. It's 80% dumb people that are used to being graded on a curve and used to getting rewards they don't fucking deserve and getting stars on their forehead and being congratulated for staying inside and wearing a mask. Their mask is the little star on their fucking forehead as a child, and they think they're some kind of hero, but you're not. You're G-A-Y faggots.
You're gay. The mask is gay, but people don't want to admit.
And here's the thing that I realized going forward, that when this first started, I was 51 years old, okay? Now I'm 52, but I was 51. I'm actually 33, but I smoke crack.
You look great, Gino. You look handsome. You look great.
Dude, I lost weight for the long time. Here's the thing. When it first started, I'll never forget, they said, this is the thing I remember. They said, 95% of America is going to get COVID, but we don't want everyone to get it at once, so we're going to shut down the world for 2 weeks. Okay. So I, since in my 51 previous years, had never not trusted the government, had never heard anything that I shouldn't believe, right? Uh-huh. Well, my brother... Like, Pete, Pete,
wait, is that true? So you were totally blue-pilled. You're totally, you were.
Well, I've never had a reason not to. I've never had a politics. And I said to my brother, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Pete, I've been up here on the subway with no mask. I'm like, I'm probably going to get it. And you think you're going to die because you believe the numbers. I'll get to that in a minute. You believe the statistics, which you can make them fucking lie. I do football picks. I'm 90% if you just pick my team totals in the NFL Super Bowls. You believe it. I'm calling my brother every other day saying, I feel fine. And then about 4 months in, you start to get angry. You realize that they've taken shit from you. And I predicted this. You can watch the episode. I said, here's what's going to happen next. And I wasn't the only one. But I said, now that they got rid of all, I called it, and they make fun of me, but I love saying it, Alex. I called it the American Idol corollary. Remember when American Idol first came out?
Yes.
And the first two, three seasons even, Like, okay, they must have seen everyone in America. Now everyone that comes out, if we've never seen them before, they stink. You know what I mean? Well, that's what we did. We got rid of all the dead people in the first wave of it. All the fucking old, all the infirm.
Average age is 81 years old. Average age of morbidity.
The average age of death is 78.
Yeah, for all cause.
So whenever someone said my grandmother died, I said, congrats on her 3 extra years. But I said, watch this. And they did. Suddenly, no one cares about death rates. They use surge, spike, Delta variant, fucking double mutant variant. They want to make you scared of an infection of something that has a fucking 0.002% mortality rate. And that's, people don't even ask now. When fucking Fauci goes on the air and says, of the June deaths, 98% were unvaccinated. Yeah, why didn't you mention that 97% of them were fucking elderly cancer patients that can't get the shot? Because whatever is in there will kill them.
Well, but this is what it's called. It's called trauma-based mind control. And you know
what is it? Go on.
Listen, what is happening? What is going on with the media? What they use it, and they've been using it forever. It's the reason why I used to hate Muslims after 9/11. They used it. That was the original trauma-based mind control. Is what they did is they said, oh, these Muslims brought down the Twin Towers, and now they're gonna build a Muslim mosque next to it. Oh, we better go over there. We better kill the Muslims, and then they tell us all these pictures of Al Qaeda, and you find out that the CIA paid money to these beheading videos are made in a studio. And you're like, why do we always want to pump up the military-industrial complex? So what is happening now is what they call trauma-based mind control. If you can put people in what is called a state of fear that you are in fight or flight, you can only react. You can't think, Gino. You can only think 6 inches in front of your face. So when you tell a 600-pound person, oh, it's healthy, go get your vaccine, and they've never done anything healthy in their life, they think they're doing the good thing because they're under so much trauma-based mind control. And that's when they say, hey, they lift the mask mandates. Nobody's going to take off. The people that are under the trauma-based mind control are never going to take off the mask because their brain is twisted like a knot, and they've been doing this through propaganda since World War II, Gino. So that's why I'm just surprised. I just now kind of noticed it around. This is when I noticed it. You remember in 2015, every late night host said, oh, Trump has no chance. Stephen Colbert, Trump has no chance. he's the joke candidate. John Oliver, every week. The morning of the election, the New York Times said 99.6% chance Hillary's going to win. And then that shows you, then Trump wins. That shows you how fake the news is. And so what they do is it's called trauma-based mind control. And, you know, it's only going to get worse because I don't know if you've ever read these books, but you got to go back and watch the Cliff Notes of a book called 1984 and Brave New World. And basically what it is, it's
Aldous Huxley fucking Orwell. I need to read 1984 again. I'm not going to lie to you. I never read the Brave New World.
But watch the clip. There's a thing called Spark Notes on YouTube, and it'll give you the book.
I don't want to do that.
I know, but at least I'm just saying you might as well so you can talk about it. I mean, I've read the book, but, you know, give you a refresher.
Ooh, I'm smart. I can read.
I can read. I'm so smart. Look at me. I have paper.
Here's my girlfriend.
No, but what I'm saying, in all honesty, this is the trajectory. They want to take away as much freedom under the guise of safety to keep you safe.
But they'll give it back, won't they?
No, they're not, because it's going to be the... After 9/11, they did the Patriot Act, which gave you warrantless search and seizure of your cell phone. Oh, you might be one of them towel heads. We're going to look at your thing. Well, guess what? Now, because of January 6th, the Patriot Act 2.0 is going to be where every citizen is going to agree to download an app. And what that app is going to give them is warrantless search and seizure of our text messages. Because people are, and they're already saying that they're doing this. They're already saying that the White House is looking into private text messages. But what's going to happen is we're going to let them. We have to actually let them do that. And that's the next level. You know, there's no stopping it. There's going to be zero privacy in 10 years. And it's very scary. And they're going to say it's for your safety, because they're going to say they're going to be able to stop crime before it happened. And let's say they're going to be able to go back. You get in a car accident. You're in one of these self-driving cars. They'll be able to go back to that exact time of the accident and see what's going on here. So it'll be the safety guys. But
self-driving cars are the ones that don't see black people, right? Well, how funny.
I'm just saying they're going to turn this into a prison cell, and it already is, you know, and that's what's
scary. Well, I said that about comedy, and that was another thing. Like, who is that? It's people that are afraid. You said it, the trauma-based
mind control.
People that are afraid are easy to control. And that's why you couldn't convince me otherwise. And it's been great since, but that's why they prioritized comedy so low on bringing it back, because God forbid people are laughing. But I'll tell you something, COVID, if you fucking aren't these idiots, For me, COVID was the best thing ever. One, I stopped taking comedy for granted. Not that I took it for granted, but I think the comedians and the fans, it really helped my act. When I'm on stage now and I get a good laugh, I'm like, remember how good that feels. Don't let fucking people scare you out of doing it for any reason. I talk about, like I said it, I live in East Harlem, 104th. There's no fucking race war. You sit in a comedy club, every race, religion, ilk, gay people that don't sit there and say, I have 9 fucking initials, you call them faggot, they laugh. It's not a race war. They want you to believe there is, and it's not. And everything can and should be laughed at. And the people that are trying to stop comedy are the people that have never said anything fucking funny in their life. And another thing, as long as we're on it, shout out to fucking Jackie Mason. But if you are on Facebook and someone famous dies and you can't wait to put a picture up with them, you're not good at whatever your job is, especially if you're in the same industry as them.
Does that piss you off the most? You don't like that. Wow, Gino, I can see you get so pissed. Who's the... Okay.
Because I don't need someone telling me a story about Jackie Mason 20 years ago when they met. Now we thought, be funny now. Don't fucking ride that guy's coattails. Oh, here we are having lunch. Good for fucking you.
Okay. Well, hey, I have to bring this up at one point in the
you had dinner with Jackie Mason. I get it.
Not with Jackie Mason, but we're talking about somebody dying, and I had to talk about one of your arch nemesis, Mike David from Red Bar, has not.
Did he die?
That's what I'm saying. They're saying he's dead. I'm not. He's not really died. I don't know, but he's doing. I don't follow. I like his show. I mean, I he does some funny stuff, and when he talks about you, I think it's good because he brings at least a heat to the y'all show. So, and like he. Come on, he was part of Compound. He likes Compound Media. You know what I mean?
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
Let me open by saying, when I heard whatever was going on, I sent him a DM on Instagram, so get well, dear frenemy. That's what I did. And when I watched, you'll appreciate this. Oh, well, you saw the Kevin Brennan porcelain documentary, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's great. It's one of the best. What? What? It was so good. Yeah, but porcelain's the best.
Tell you,
yeah.
After that, I got into him, so they did a third documentary on Joe Matarese. Did you see that?
I've seen every Joe Matarese. I've seen every.
And I bet you'll agree. Yeah. You know who was the star of the Joe Matarese documentary? Red Bar. Because Red Bar made fun of him so much, he was 90% of the clips, and you felt a genuine empathy coming from Red Bar. When he'd be like, he'd show like Matt Reese with his 9th podcast.
That
name
pizza, and then when he tried to make that pizza on the grill, and he's got the nice microphone, and his wife is so rich. His wife is that great rich doctor.
And Red Bar is looking at him, and this is what I really said. You know what? You're wrong, Gene. Red Bar is looking at him like Lee Trevino and Happy Gilmore. What are you doing?
And to be honest, Gino, anything that he's ever teased you about has made me like you more. I swear to God, on a stack of Bibles.
I realize Bibles. That, too.
Because he doesn't tease you for anything real. He's like, oh, Gino got drunk and did something stupid. So what? Who gives a shit?
Dude, that flat broke Gino song.
That's a funny song. And who isn't broke? Fuck. And he acts like he's so fucking rich. Give me a break.
I will get mad at myself because I'll find myself singing it after watching the clip. Like, no, I'm not fucking singing it. It's like, and then they sample me. Flat broke. It's so
It is funny. And he loves Anthony Cumia. Like, everybody loves Anthony Cumia. So he sees it.
Well,
let me just say this. I
want
to hear what you have to say, but he sees you on Compounds and Media, so he's not necessarily jealous, but he's, he's your contemporary.
Well, he fucked up Compound Media because he went on and he... Look, this is what I will say about him that fucking makes me think. Yes, like, his whole job is to watch shows or have other people watch shows and badmouth them. Or just create drama. And I get why he does it. He's like, if he control your show, if he control you, then maybe you'll go back at him and all your fans will get involved in his show. So that's what he does. But think about it. Like, while I'm doing shows where I'm just laughing and having fun, he spends 8 hours an episode being talked in a look, let's face it. He groomed that chick. And I don't, from everything I hear, he's over her.
She's hot. I think she's hot from her Instagram. But I don't know.
I heard she put on some LBs.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what she looked. I mean, dude, I don't know the inner working of the relationship, and I don't even really care. I'm just saying, hey, all he does is troll people, and his health is not good. And I hate to say this.
What's wrong with his health? What do you think's wrong?
I don't know, but they said that he hasn't done a show in a couple months because, it comes up in my, I follow like Scion.
But his fans hate him more than me sometimes. They're like, he's fucking on an island right now. Like,
but Gino, that's a big thing. It's hate watching. There's all these people on the internet. I watch them. It's called mukbangers. people almost want to be fans of people they don't like. It's weird because there's people I watch that I'm like, this person pisses me off, but I still watch it because we are so sick. This is in Brave
New World. Kevin Brennan gets so angry, and I love him.
He's the most miserable prick. He's a real life Al Bundy. You would never think that Al Bundy would come to life. And that's him.
We do these things called, we call them secret shows. They're not anymore. But when the lockdown started, we would do them. And he did one, and it's at our buddy's house. He's got a stage. It's great. And he's doing the whole act he's miserable, but he's got a grin while he's saying miserable things because, you know, that's Kevin in a nutshell.
I saw those pictures. He's just such a miserable guy. I just love it. Dude, but that show, he's such a little bitch. He's ending his show. And y'all were talking about, you said, Alana, I don't even know what comedian you said was funny. Who gives a shit? He can't stand that. I guess somebody.
Adrian Appalucci, let me tell you something. Top five funniest female comics I've ever seen.
I believe you. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know why he's got to trip out. It's like, I don't know. It's like
because it's about what he, look, let me explain Kevin. I used to say this all the time and indulge me because I love telling the story. You know, he's like the oldest or second oldest of like 8 or 9 kids. Okay. Did you know that?
Yeah. His brother's Neil. I know all about it. Yeah.
One of the last remnants of those. You talk.
No. Well, I just want to say I worked on a commercial with Neil. Neil got COVID and got the whole thing shut down. I was a Tony Romo stand-in, could have made a bunch of money and didn't. So I'm kind of mad. I'm mad at Neil Brennan. But go ahead. Sorry.
But here's the thing. It's the last bastion of that Irish Catholic family you saw growing up. I don't think anyone really does anymore. But, you know, he grew up watching as the family, you know, made a little more money. He grew up watching everyone younger than him get more than he had growing up. So he's got that issue to begin with. Then Neil becomes famous. But it's like, This is Kevin. I used to say, I'll be Kevin and you say, here are 5 bags of gold. So someone goes, here are 5 bags of gold. And I go like this. And I drop the bags and go like, why does that guy get 1/2 bag of gold? Why did he get 1/2 bag? You know, he doesn't care that you gave him all that. Why did he get that? And that's, I understand why he's like that, because he grew up watching everyone get more than he had in his family. And then his fucking kid brother, who's not as funny as Kevin Brennan.
No, Kevin is actually really funny. He's
fucking hysterical. Mm. I understand why he gets so bad and I drive him insane, but I don't care what anyone says. Kevin likes me. He's great. Calls me all the time. I did his show. Even when I fucking, you know, broke him, as you said, it's like, I want better for him. No, you're not allowed to say he brings it. You're stupid. You're dumb. Dude, his podcast just came out today. Did you see? Chad quit.
Yeah, I know, and I like Chad. I don't understand.
Me and Chad go way back.
Chad's a good guy. Well, I don't like why him and Chrissy, though. I see, I like Chrissy, too. Why are him and Chrissy hate each other so much? They all hate Chrissy.
Well, because Chad, that's like a Twitter or podcast.
Something.
I lived with Chad one summer over on 150 WeWork. From what I recall, it was a good time. Yeah, you can imagine how much we put back.
And so, Gino, okay, so tell me this. The news says New York's crumbling. We don't like Bill de Blasio. He's a douche. But tell us, so I know you're in Harlem. I just kind of want to hear, tell me a little bit about New York, because I know Anthony goes in every day and rides a train. I mean, it must not be that bad. So give us a real scuttlebutt about New York.
Here's what it's bad. But it's not bad. It's not safe. It's like any other place. If you know what you're doing where you're walking, it's fine. It was way worse in the 70s. But it's bad. It's terrible that they let it get this way. That cops are cops are coming back now. Thank God. I don't walk by a single cop without doing this. I'm like, thank you. Stay safe. But cops are patrolling the subway again. But it doesn't matter. There's no point arresting these fucking junkies that sit there like this, fucking shaking, you know, and just taking shits on the sidewalk. And de Blasio let it get like this because you cannot convince me they want everyone to move out and then fucking, you know, repopulate with. They're turning it into a socialist republic, and it's not going to work because let me tell you, I said this a couple months ago. It's like I grew up on a farm in South Jersey. I went to college in Delaware. I stayed in Delaware for 10 years. I moved here in 2001. But of all the places I lived and all the people I still check in with in Delaware and Jersey and Philly, when COVID hit, I didn't go, I checked on them. But that was when I realized I'm a New Yorker, because it's like I ain't leaving. You can do all fucking horse shit, but I put in too much work. And we have another shirt. It's on my Instagram. I just gave it away. This is our anti-woke shirt, which I love.
Yes.
you know.
But COVID is just the flu with better PR.
COVID is the flu with a better publicist.
You know what? That's your best shirt, I think. That's the number one shirt.
Wait, buy me some time. I got some stickers.
No, we got time. We got time. We got about 10 minutes left to the interview. Hey, let me put a link out if anybody wants to call in for the last 10 minutes. Anybody wants to ask any questions.
Hey, DM me your address, buddy. Look.
I will. Hold on. Let me put this. Whoa, put good some stickers. I want to put this. Hey, guys, some people get afraid to call in. If anybody wants to call in, some people are scared, wants to call in.
But like I was saying, it's what it comes down to is, and this is what I realized, and I want to get this out because it's common sense. It came to the point where, like, I subscribed by accident, but I love it. Every Wednesday, I would get the print version of this Chinese paper called the Epoch Times, which it's very conservative, but it had a health and wellness section that I kept reading. And everything I read, it was just an article where you didn't have to say, let me check this out. Like, that makes sense. Like, they would tell you, all right, vitamin D doesn't cure it. Vitamin D does cure it. They're like, then why are all these people dying? Vitamin D is a fat-soluble vitamin. So if you're fat, it takes 10 times as much water to break it down to get to the vitamin D, so fat people don't get their vitamin D. If you're black and you were born and raised on the equator, your skin every morning when you woke up said, I don't need sunlight, I have plenty. When you move to New York, you don't absorb sunlight. And I'm like, yeah, that's why vitamin D does cure it regardless of the numbers. Here's my best.
Yeah, but it's like 100% of people didn't have vitamin D, and there's 95% of them that were like over 300 pounds.
Yeah, it cures it. Here's my best one. Ready for this? This is when I really started to question it. All the way back when Trump touted hydroxychloroquine, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, that's terrible. It'll kill you. Let me tell you something. I used to date a girl. They'll never find her body, Alex. But I used to date a girl. And she had lupus. Do you know what lupus is, Alex?
Yeah, it's cancer.
Autoimmune disease. Sound familiar? That attacks your body its whole life. She had it her whole life. You know what they prescribed for this autoimmune disease, Alex?
Hydroxychloroquine.
And you know how long you have to take it, Alex?
I don't know.
For the rest of your life, it is 17 years later. She has a 16-year-old son. She's traveling the world. She's fine. But the media wanted you to believe if you're completely healthy like you and me and you get a flu and you take it, you'll die. That's a lie.
No, that's the truth. The media is the truth. CNN's the truth. Anything Nancy Pelosi says is the truth. Anything Jen Psaki says is the truth. Everything the CDC says is the truth. We're probably going to have to take this off of YouTube anyway. But no, everybody knows this, Gino, except for the ones that don't want to open their eyes to see it. I mean, like, Gino, people like this. People like being scared. People like making other people take the vaccination. People like, because people are in such a low, like, this is how we are, vibrational, energetic beings. So when you are in a low vibrational state, misery loves company. You want to bring people down with you. So that's why people like you that, you know, vibrate high, you know, naturally people are attracted to you, but they want to bring us all down to a low vibrational spirit. And that's
while
really
we're talking
what's going
about
on.
This. Okay. I love that you talk like this and it's what got me into your podcast. New fan, big fan. Like, let me tell you the two books that really, that I stumbled into in the past couple of years. You ever heard of a book called E Squared by Pam Grout?
No, sounds good. I feel like I've heard of it. I've seen that. I feel like
she's amazing. Boy, talk about tragedy. She's so upbeat. She lost her daughter to a brain aneurysm. Like, she was like in college, terrible. But she wrote a book called E Squared, followed by EQ, a bunch of books. But E Squared, if you get a chance, look it up, people. It's 9 energy experiments you can do. And I'm telling you, you will read the first 20 pages. You'll read the first 5 pages of this book and you'll be like, oh my God, thank God Gino recommended this. Or you'll be like, this isn't for me. But that book and Fuck the Secret, The Power of the Subconscious Mind by Murphy, Joseph Murphy. I listened to it on YouTube on audio, but I listened to it over and over again. It's what you said. We're all energy. And I say to my act, the same thing that makes up me, you, this table, your HIV meds, Alex. We're
yeah,
energy.
My ATZ.
And light attracts light. And I tell people in the set, like, that's, I'm like, make sure you remember how good it felt to laugh. And make sure you keep doing it because you will attract other fucking happy people. What you just said a minute ago, Alex, it made me think of that. You know, and when you're cranky, when you're miserable, it's that you attract that company.
Yeah, and but see, you know what you're doing that's smart.
Mind. It's great.
What I saw you today is you were exercising too. That's like one of the number one things is you don't need to have, you don't have to go squat 1,000,000 pounds, guys. But what happens is when you do light exercise, it uses your heart as a pump. So a lot of that like dormant, kind of bad energy, kind of bad. It's just good to get that blood flow through your body. So that's another thing. And so Gino, if you're out walking, you're in New York, your life's probably 10 times better than the guy that's driving a Suburban in Plano, Texas, going to the Whataburger 4 times a day. You know,
I love Whataburger.
I mean, hey, you know, who doesn't like a good cheeseburger? I'm not hating on a cheeseburger. I'm just saying to have an emotional, I believe anxiety and depression can be healed with light exercise. I believe that you can almost heal
it. Dude, without a doubt, I say this about in my act. I'm like, it's not a cute phrase anymore. Laughter is the best medicine. It relieves stress. It releases endorphins. It physically heals you. And this is why I say, and you see these fucking woke people, anyone that doesn't want to make you laugh now, anyone that wants to stop you from laughing, they're affecting your health adversely, and that should be a hate crime. That's what that, and not the kind we jerk off to on the
No, I like that. Blacked.com if you guys want to know what we're talking about. Okay, so tell us. So, Gino.
How bored are you when we don't hang out, Alex?
I'm coming to New York. I'll be there sooner than later. You're my new best friend. Okay, so tell me.
Get your ass up here. We'll have some drinks.
For sure. Okay, so tell me this, Gino. Where's the next comedian to the come on? You guys just did a show this weekend, right? Or do you guys have any big shows coming up?
No, we did one 2 weeks ago to show. Shout out to Aaron Berg, my co-host. Yeah. He's a brilliant comedian. And this is how lucky I am. Like our show works because we're so different, but we're like brothers, you know? Mm-hmm. And when we fucking disagree, we go at it on there and the fans love it. But he's the fucking, I'm the glad hander, hang out with people, you know, drink. He's the guy that gets the shit done. And he started these things called In Hot Water Lives, and they became comedians of the compound. We tour all over. The next big one is next month, Cuyahoga Falls, Cleveland. The I want to say 15th, 16th, 17th, and the following one, you ready for this? September 10th and 11th, Vegas, Vegas.
Wow, I might have to go to that. I might want to see, I would like to see
Tino. Yo, our boy Tino's coming out.
Tino lives there. I might need to go there because I'd love to see Anthony Cumia in Las Vegas.
Dude, come out, please.
I don't know if he'd make it out. I know, Gino.
Have the girl watch the forecast. Get some booze. We'll make some terrible choices.
That's what we're ending on. But cats, see, Gino, they want to make fun of it. But when I wake up next to my cat, I mean, I love all this. That's my favorite piece of pussy I've ever woken up to is that cat.
Let me tell you something. And I talk about it in my act. This cat's six. She was the sixth one in the litter. Like, I think pets choose you. And this cat, like, I was subletting an apartment. I was taking care of a sick aunt. So I didn't, like, want to lock into a place. One time I came home, and there were all these kittens in the backyard meowing like crazy.
And you grabbed one?
and I picked them all up, and there were five. I get down there. This is what I say in the act. It's like, I get down there. There are five kittens, four black ones. They're not doing anything. Yeah. One white kitten nervously clutching his wallet. So I picked these kittens up and I put them in the box. But honest to God, as I'm walking away, there's a sixth kitten. That's my cat, six. And I pick her up and she clings to my neck. And the guy that was holding, he's like, you're supposed to keep that kitten. Thank God I did.
That's a fact. Well, see, that's another energetic thing. Cats supposedly absorb negative energy. That's what they say. Like, you know, I believe
this is, this is how. This, honest to God, you can't make this up. This is me and the cat yesterday morning. That's her.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's it. I mean, that is love. That's the purest love, cleanest love. Because, you know, most of the love you're doing is nasty. So that's the purest, cleanest love. And I'm not saying I'm a nasty person too, but there's nothing more pure than the holding of a cat. It's like...
Oh, I agree. I agree. And by the way, here, I'm not wearing this one, but this is the shirt. It's on my... This is our newest shirt, dude. Look.
Hold on. Uncancelable. Why is that so hard to say? Why can't I say uncancelable?
Uncancelable, that which cannot be canceled. That's my buddy Johnny, book Stand Up New York. Fucking, I was wearing that shirt. He's like, I love that shirt. I took it off I'm like, I'll get another one.
You gave it to him.
Right now. Fuck that. You know what I mean?
That's what's so badass. So
I was walking by a chick the other day at like 10 in the morning to my apartment. I was 20 blocks from my apartment. I was wearing this shirt. And I'm not kidding. The chick looked like a young Megan Rapinoe. Honest to God. So I thought she was going to give me shit. And she goes, that's a great shirt. I should have given her. I could have walked home shirtless 20 blocks. I don't give a fuck. I'm so mad I didn't give her this shirt off my back. I'm going to start doing that now.
I like that bit. The Gino shirt bit. That's got to be the new bit where you give the shirt off your back because you are a magnanimous man, Gino.
That's how daddy rolls.
You really are. And, you know, I want to tell everybody, guys, the link to all of Gino's links are in the description. You got his Twitter. We got his Instagram. We're live, everybody. Please go give him a follow. Go join Compounds of Media right now. It's $7.99, so it's like 20% cheaper.
Use the code COMPOUND20. You get 20% off. And I'm not kidding, guys. It's better than Netflix because you know exactly what you're watching. It's fucking great. It's fun.
And if you don't want to, if you're like nervous to buy it, go follow the social media, watch some clips, and you're going to see you're going to like it. You know what I mean? You get a little ticket.
You can subscribe for 1 month for $7. You can subscribe 1 month for $7 and then you decide. And I'll be honest, if you do, a lot of times it doesn't fucking, it's a bad server. And sometimes
it doesn't bill you. Hey, but see, this is, isn't this sad though, Gino? It's like these people, they listen to you for hours and don't want to give me $7. And we're not here to e-bag. We're not here to e-bag at all. But in this creators community, people that you like, you got to support. And that's why I try to support people too. Only because, guys, Gino's not sponsored by whatever the fuck. Today, I got an email from, no joke, I had to pull this up. This is the last thing I'm going to show. No, this company, I mean, I just made me laugh. And I'm sure you get these same stupid things. I get a message for this company. I got to pull up the product. I want to pull up the product before I even talk about it. This is going to be our last little thing. Okay, look at this. I get a freaking, let me share the screen, guys, real quick. This is, you're going to see, hopefully not all my messages. Guys, this is from a serious company talking about, it's called Smooth My Balls, okay? They're trying to reach out to me, Gino, they want to spawn. I'm just saying, this is how weird the world is, guys. For me, they're trying to get me to sponsor a kit about shaving my balls. So, guys, I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to talk about shaving my balls. This is smoothmyballs.com. They're reaching out to me. They said, hey, we want to do a collab. Guys, please support me. Please don't make me come on here and talk about shaving my balls. I don't have a whole moral compass, guys, but I want to talk about shaving anything else besides my balls. Blue Chew, if you guys want to come, I'll help another guy get a boner. But guys, please don't make me shave my balls. If you guys want to support me, go to patreon.com/conspiracycastle. You guys go to compoundmedia.com. Gino's links are in the description. Gino, what do you want to leave him with? Thank you for being a guest, and it's a pleasure meeting you, my man.
Buy my album. It turned 4. I need to do a new one. It's called Uncle Gino's Amazing, but I'm so proud of that album. And guys, I mean it. Just keep fucking laughing. Like it is, you said it. It draws in other happy people, and it makes you take yourself less seriously. I was taking myself too seriously in the middle of lockdown watching all this shit. And keep watching the Conspiracy Castle. We're getting drunk when he gets up here.
Yes, and guys, remember, Anthony Fauci's the smartest man alive. Jen Psaki's the hottest woman alive. Joe Biden's the most popular president of all time. And one day, Kamala Harris will be my wife. And the CDC is the smartest, most accurate place for your information. All right, we love you.